All right. So before we begin, before we get into our discussion, let me introduce myself. My name is Brother Lou, and I will be your host this evening. So I want to say peace to all the brothers and sisters who come in on the call. I want to welcome you to this week's Black Wallets Matter Town Hall meeting. If this is your first time calling in, I want to run down a few ground rules for how we manage these calls. They usually last for about 2 hours, but if we have a really good one, we can extend it. And if it's like fading out, then we can shut it down early. But either way, let me thank you in advance for coming to hang out with us. And I hope you have a good time. I also hope that you feel inspired because you are now on a platform with a group of like-minded brothers and sisters who have come together for the purposes of discussing solutions to many of the problems we face in our Black community. We want to have these discussions in an organized and an intelligent manner. If you remember when you called in, I addressed you as either brother or sister. And the reason we address one another as such is to show respect and as a sign of solidarity. During these calls, we don't like to discuss religion. We do not like to discuss the Black male and female dynamic. And we do not like to discuss political party affiliation. We can discuss politics as it pertains to Black people in America and how we can use it to improve our situation, but we don't want to get into a discussion about which party did this and which party didn't do that. And the reason we don't want to discuss these topics is because they are all opinion-based, which means no one is right, no one is wrong, and we'll be here all night going around in circles arguing and not being productive. So for all the guests on the call who have never called in before, that we refer to you as guests, let me tell you a little bit about what Black Wallets Matter, the organization, is. If you haven't watched the blueprint, Black Wallets Matter is a member association comprised of brothers and sisters that believe the only way we're going to fix the problems in the Black community is if we do it ourselves and we start using the power of the Black dollars we already have. Some estimates say that we spend $1.4 trillion each year on consumer goods. So we feel if we were able to just capture a portion of that money and practice group economics, meaning spend it with, you know, our other brothers and sisters, we could make a major financial impact and transform our community. This is a form of Black capitalism. You may not like capitalism because we aren't faring too well under it, but it's the only system that we have here in America. And the best thing that we can do is learn how the game works and then get really good at using it for our advantage. And that's what the purpose of Black Wallets Matter is in a nutshell. So let me tell you what the problems we are looking to address, and let me tell you how we plan on solving them. So this organization has three main problems that we want to address. We want to address the poverty that affects 70% of the single Black women in America. We want to address the underemployment that affects us as a population, as a group. We are affected, I believe it is 50%, and for whites it is like, no, I'm sorry, not 50. I think we're at like 16%. And for whites it is, I don't know, maybe like 5 or 9. If the numbers fluctuate because of with this president, the president that we have now. And then we also want to address this wave of racially motivated police brutality. The reason we want to address these issues is because we feel that they are at the core of all the other problems we have. The way that we plan on addressing these problems is by creating community resource centers. Community resource centers are going to provide trades training and educational opportunities to these under and unemployed brothers and sisters and these women that are living in poverty. By them coming in and learning how to earn a good living, they will provide a nice, stable environment at home. When they provide a nice, stable environment to those children, to their children, our future generations, those children will grow up with a different idea and a different perspective of what it means to be Black, because that is essentially how we're going to address all the problems. We have to really define the culture. We have to redefine the culture. As many of us have tried before, we have gone out and tried to speak sense to, you know, maybe people on social media, people in our families or whatever. We all know people don't want to hear it. You start talking positivity, you start saying what we have to change, you start saying black people need to do, all black people need to do or whatever, and then the list just gets long and long and long and long. At the core of all of that, if we were to take 16-year-olds and younger and basically redefine to them what it means to be black, so teaching them things like black people don't steal from one another, black people don't kill one another, black people help each other, black people invest in one another, and all of these virtuous things, the future generation will grow up with that as their understanding of the culture. Like, one of the biggest things that we have going on in our culture right now is like that crab in the barrel mentality. So a lot of us will hear it, but we won't exactly really know what that means until we try to do something and be successful, or we need some help or whatever it is. And then it seems like those around us want to pull us down or hold us back or keep us back. Right? That's something that just is passed along from generation to generation. I mean, I remember my mother saying that back in the days, and I had no idea what they were talking about. And now I find myself saying things like that. I'm really trying to not have my children have that experience. And the only way they aren't going to have that experience is if you teach your child not to hold back another brother or sister, to support them. So that way when my child grows up and your child grows up and now they're interacting and networking in the world, they have the same mentality. They have a mentality of, you know what, that's my brother, that's my sister, I have to help them. The past couple of weeks, we were doing these exercises to discover or to really uncover some of the biases that most of us have against our own people. And something that we discovered that was for the people who are part of this organization, they'll say things like, I tried to support a black business. They, you know, I wasn't happy with the service or the product or whatever it is, but you know what? I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back and I hope that they get it together, or I'll tell them about it and hope that they get it together. Those are the kinds of people that we are looking for to join this organization. We are looking for people who love black folks unconditionally. That's first and foremost. We are looking for people who understand that, no, we don't have it all the way together, and you're willing to work and help and build something from the ground up. The things that we want to do, that this organization wants to do, they're enormous. They're really, really huge. But right now, we're trying to get together a core group of people to help build these things. What we want to do is we want to build one business together as a group, as a unit of people. We want to build one business, and we want to offer an opportunity or jobs or something to the other people in our environment, in our areas. Where are we going to build the business? Who's going to get the jobs? Who's going to run it? We're not even to that point yet. We have ideas. We have the outline of how we want to do it, but we need the core group of people. We need 2,000 people as a seed to start building these things. And once we have that core group, we will be able to show the rest of the brothers and sisters looking at us, hey, listen, a group of unrelated people are able to come together and work and organize and get something done. That's the biggest problem we have in our community. If you're trying to, let's say you're, you know, on your own and you're trying to start a business, and you're saying to yourself, you know what, I would really love to work with some black people, and you go out there and you reach, there's a chance that things may not work the way you planned. And then what's going to happen is that may turn you off from doing business with our people. I'm serious. Because I just had about three people just send me an email or a message or whatever right before this call telling me that they tried to do business with, you know, this brother. And, well, actually, it was two different people. It was two different brothers they tried to do business with. It was three different people. And they were like, they got burnt. And that made me feel like, man, you know, this is bad, because here it is. I'm encouraging them to go out and support, you know, brothers and sisters, give them opportunities. But we just, it's like we don't know how to work together. And so we're trying to master that. This organization, this group is trying to master working together. We're trying to have self-mastery, and then we're trying to have group mastery. We're trying to really learn how to set our differences aside and then try to just stay focused and stay on task. And whatever we discover along the way, we're going to have to share that with everyone else, because I am telling you, there are very few black folks who know how to work together and build something. Very, very few. I don't care what levels they are on. And usually when you see, I mean, we gotta admit it. Usually when we see black folks that have an organization or things running, it's not all black folks. They got some white people in there, you know, those are the managers. They have other people who are executing and doing all this stuff. If we truly want something for our own, then we're going to have to tough it out. One of the businesses we want to build, we want to build a shopping portal, right? Like I said, we spend $1.4 trillion, on consumer goods. I actually reached out to a brother. So, if you would come on some of the earlier calls, we were talking about, we're trying to get the developers, we're trying to raise the money to at least start that. There was a brother, he came on a call some time back, and he said that, hey, listen, I'm a developer, I can handle that, I can take care of this, blah, blah, blah. I said, great. I told him, I sent him over the spec of exactly what we wanted, and the brother, he took it, and he said, I can do it. He never came through, and next thing you know, I saw, like, coming through his feed, he was, like, trying to do the same thing of the information that I gave him. So he kind of tried to, like, steal the idea. He tried to do it on his own. Now, I knew that this thing had a million moving parts. I knew the money that was, you know, that was needed to do it. So I really didn't believe he was going to pull it off, and, you know, it's failed, and he's trying to do something else. But that's something that happened. But you know what? I reached out to that brother earlier, and I told him, listen, I saw what you did before, but you know what? It doesn't matter. I see you're struggling trying to do something else. Here, let me help you. I did that because I truly want to see us succeed. So if you came here expecting something different, and I don't know what you may have expected. We had a lot of people last year who were coming and expecting this organization to give them money to start their businesses. That's not what this organization is about. This organization is about pooling our resources so that we can start businesses for the benefit of the collective, because that is what we do not have. We do not have any entities that work for the benefit of us as a collective. There's this video going around on social media or Facebook or whatever, where they're talking about the LGBTQ, this curriculum or whatever it is going to be mandated in the public schools. And I everyone is like, you know, they feel whatever way they feel about it, you know, about that specific issue. But I'm saying to myself, this whole group, they came out of nowhere within the last, I want to say, 5 years. Look at that power. You know what they did? They used the laws that were put on the books for us to get that. It's the same thing that the Jewish community did, and the same thing the immigration population. They're going to use the same laws, amendments, rights that were put on the books for us, and they're going to use it to put themselves in positions of power. And it comes from organization and putting their money where their mouth is. They're going to start, what do they call it, gender fluidity or whatever it is. They're going to start teaching this in the schools. And I was saying, you know what, that could have been a mandatory black history class, or that could have been a mandatory financial literacy class. It could have been, because we have the numbers. We have the laws. They didn't come up with no new laws. They used the same thing that was on a book for us. And we, $1.4 trillion, I seriously doubt they have $1.4 trillion floating through their economy. If we were a country, we would be the 10th richest country on the planet. the 10th largest economy on the planet. So it just is, we need that focus. It's paramount. So if that's something that you want to do, something you want to be a part of, you know, usually we talk about the importance of, you know, the legacy, right? Leaving something for the kids and things like that. But a lot of people sometimes, you know, they don't see that far. But how about for yourself? How about before you go, you say, you know what, I was a part of something that was bigger than just me, and I actually saw black people change, right? So they had the Panthers before, they had, you know, this whole civil rights movement. Prior to that, they had other movements, you know, they had the Marcus Garvey. This is our, like, movement, and we want to leave our mark on the world. And so how we do that is we invite brothers and sisters, guests, we invite you to become a member of this organization, become an association member. When you become an association member, you pledge membership dues. Membership dues start at $10 on the silver level, $25 at the gold level, and $50 at the platinum champion level. The dues are, on a monthly basis. Usually I go into, you know, the stuff about the money and the this and, you know, all of that. You can read it on the website. The website is blackwalletsmatter.org. You can, you know, you get a money-back guarantee and, you know, all of this stuff. But I don't want to really, really focus on the money because I'm realizing it's not the money. It's people's commitment to what it is that we're trying to do. And so I want you to understand that the first thing that we're trying to master, this group, this organization, we're trying to master working together. We're trying to master organizing without anyone being a snake or anyone, you know, like a lot of, you know, building trust. Because a lot of organizations fall apart because of a lack of trust. I am very protective of the reputation of this organization. And I don't care if I have to come on this call every Thursday night and say the same thing over and over, and it's boring because nothing good, nothing new, nothing different has changed. Because there's a lot of people, a lot of things that are presented to me, and I'm like, that's not right for this organization. And, you know, and they say, oh, no, you sure you can do this? And they say things like, hey, you know what? Present this opportunity to your organization. Do this to your organization. Make some money off your organization. I don't do that. If you are a member of this organization and you have a business, then we will present your business so that you can get support from the group. But if you're like an outside person and you come with, you wouldn't believe some of the crazy things people propose. But I don't put that in front of the network. I don't put that in front of the brothers and sisters, because I only want everyone to receive something pure, and then I want them to feel that this organization, no matter what, I don't care if we never make it to the 2,000 founding members, no one will ever have a bad thing to say about this organization. Say, well, listen, you know what? They had integrity, and they tried to do what they said they were going to do. Because, see, that's the biggest problem that we have as a people. We don't have anyone to trust. We don't. I read it all the time. Everyone says, okay, let's do this. Let's put the money. Everybody, as soon as somebody say, you know what, we could just take the money and do this, first thing out of people's mouth is, well, who holds the money? Why you get to hold the money? What's going to go on with the money? Da-da-da-da-da-da. You don't see that in, like, Jewish communities and Mexican communities and all of that stuff. Some way, somehow, they, like, move on code. They just, like, do what they're supposed to do. We have a goal of 1 million association members in 5 years, right? Well, sometimes, you know, I talk to some members behind the scenes. Our goal is not to ask them to come on board to help us build the nucleus of this thing, right? Because 1 million people is a lot of people to get input from. We at the time when those 1 million people come on board, when we present this or we open up this organization to them, there will be things that will already be built, and they will look at it and they will be like, you know what, I can get behind that, I can support that. They'll jump on the bandwagon. I don't want to make it sound negative, but, you know, our folks, we have to see something. We have to see something tangible. We'll never be able to build anything meaningful without a core group of people to build it. Because one person, if one person builds it by itself, if it becomes successful, if it becomes profitable or whatever, he's going to feel like, I need to take all that money for myself. I'm the one that, you know, had the blood, sweat, and tears. It's human nature. And it's not just black people. This is all kinds of people. You got people who are shysters and, you know, charlatans or whatever, and from all kinds of people. But the thing about those, most of those people, they have cultures of trust. They have cultures that are already well-defined. Things are already built. So, like, there was this guy, I mean, let's take Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff, what he took, 80-something billion or whatever, 68 billion, whatever he took from people. People still trust money to hedge funds. Money is flowing into hedge funds crazy right now because that's the culture. They're just like, oh, you know, us, we've been burnt with gunshot. So the reason why the organization is asking for such a small amount of money, $10, $25, $50, that's not going to break anyone. No one is going to be broken from that. If we are able to build something and put it in front of the people and say, hey, look at what we built. You know our folks. We feel good. I mean, we feel good about every single little thing. Every single little thing gives us a sense of pride. We go and we show that. We employ. We put some brothers and sisters to work. We go and we help some people start some businesses, whatever it is we do, and we show that to our people. They're going to be like, yes, I can get behind that. And then they're going to support. And then the snowball will get bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're asking you to become part of that seed, become part of that nucleus. So, you know, you want to become a member, or if, you know, if anything I said makes sense, you can go to the website, blackwalletsmatter.org. You can click the menu button up at the right corner, and then there's a link. It says the blueprint. That shows you, that video is about 36 minutes long. It tells you how we're going to go from zero to the promised land, to exactly what it is that I'm talking about. Soup to nuts. It breaks it down step by step by step. If you like what you heard now and, you know, that's good enough for you, then there's a link for you to become a member. You can come in at whichever level you feel comfortable with. If you don't want to become a monthly member, a monthly contributor, but you want to support our goals in terms of our financial goals, there's a link where you can make a one-time contribution as well. And so that is all that I want to say about the money and building this. I want to open up the floor to let's start talking about some solutions. So we have a few people who have come in on the call. Let me tag them, get their names, greet them. And then we're going to open up the floor, and we are going to just start talking about some solutions to some problems. Hold on for a second here. Brother, well, I don't know if you're a brother or a sister, but caller from 330. Your first name, please.
Yes, my name is Jackie.
I'm sorry?
My name is Jackie, and I'm new to the call.
Peace, Sister Jackie. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see here. Hold on for a second. Let's see. If you have any questions, well, let's open up the floor first. I don't really want to take any questions about what I just said. You know, it resonates with you. If it doesn't resonate with you, then that's fine. You can look at the website. It has everything on there, soup to nuts, because these calls wind up going all about the organization. And like I said, I want to just talk about some solutions. Caller from 203, your first name, please. 203-889, your first name, please. Hello, caller. I don't know if you have your phone muted. Caller, if we can't get your first name, then we're going to have to drop you from the call because we want to know who we are on the line with.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Sinead. I'm sorry.
Sorry. What is it again?
Hello?
Yes.
Sinead.
Sinead. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I came in the call kind of late, and this is my first time joining on a conference.
Okay. Well, welcome. Thank you. Hold on for a second here. And then we have caller from 209 area code. Your first name, please. Hello? Caller? 209? Your first name? Hello? Hello? Caller from 209.
You got it.
Yes. Hello? We can't get your first name. We're going to have to drop you. All right. Sister Kim. Yes.
Hello.
Peace, sister.
Good evening, Brother Lou. Good evening, family, and those that are contemplating. Brother Lou, I had an idea. You know how, most of us that go to church and they have friends and family day, I was thinking about it. How about we try to, well, I try to do it anyways, you know, tell them about our conference calls on Thursday. Excuse me, my allergies this night. But, you know, where we can try to bring someone else, just to invite them to listen to the call. You know, maybe they can find something that they're intrigued about or, you know, each week. You know, try to reach out, bring one.
Oh, you mean like have like a recruit? Right. I mean, we were doing that. We were talking about the recruitment call and all the different, all the different things. But I mean, I really know what it is. It's either it's going to resonate with people or it's not. You know.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, so these types of calls, I really don't even want to get into that, because when we have our calls and I'm understanding the mentality, I'm understanding the mindset of the people that we have on board, it's not going to be like widespread, but
yeah,
you know, yeah,
it's like most things, you know, until it pops off and it gets big and there's push and movement, then everybody, how do I get on it? I want to be a part of it. It's sad because we all want the same thing, but then some of us were so stagnant and scared or afraid to just step out on faith. We're so scared, but how do you think a lot of these other organizations and stuff got big? They started somewhere. They started somewhere, and that's how they monopolize. And once they monopolize, they get up in with the Congress and the House and all like that. You know, it's so much bigger than us, but to start is so small. It's just so small, you know. I love our people, but sometimes, you know, we just, like you said, that crab in the bucket.
Right.
It's sad.
Yeah, but like I said, it's that, you know, we're not going to worry about that. We're not going to worry.
No, we're not. We're just going to keep pressing on. Just keep pressing on. But if they could only just listen in and feel the vibe when we have our members meeting, you know, I think the ears will perk up more and, you know, be like, oh, yeah, you know, I want to be a part of that. But I just wish other people could see a vision of how we could be so much stronger. We dominate a lot of things. A lot of things they want to get from us, our ideas, you know, but I don't know. I'm just going to get off this call and get back and just listen. Thank y'all for the ones that are either contemplating about joining or just listening, and those that are a part. That's just a part of it. My kings, my queens, my sisters, my brothers. Thank you, Brother Lou, for all that you do. Don't nobody tell you, and we don't say it enough. We're saying it. But, you know, that's just a part of the body.
Thank you so much.
All right.
All right. Okay, so what we are going to do is I have some quiz questions that I wanted to that I'm going to run pretty soon, excuse me. And so I would really like the participation from the new callers. So if you are a new caller, click *6, please, if you haven't been on the call before. So Sister Wavette, let's see here. Sister Jacqueline, I don't think you've been here before. Brother Nkosi, let's see here. Our Brother Sheldon. Peace, Sister Constance. How you been? Sister Jackie, can you guys please press *6? Yeah, want to have it, want to make things a little entertaining. Brother Justin, there you go. Let's see here. We need a few more. Sister Toshiba, this is your second call. You can hop in there. I need 1, 2, 3. I need a few more people in the queue. *6, please. We're going to have like a little Black Conscious trivia quiz. That's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little fun. So no one else wants to participate. Okay. So can I have, can I have some people who have been here before? Can they please press *6? I need about 10 people in the queue. We're going to have, there you go, Sister Priscilla, thank you. I need 7 more people in the queue. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There we go. I need 4 more people in the queue. There we go. All right, we're good. Thank you, sister. All right, let's start. We're going to start with some trivia. Sister Jacqueline. Hello. Sister Jacqueline, can you hear me? Hello.
Hi, this is Sister Jacqueline.
Yes. Peace. How you doing, sister? All right. So you get the first question of the evening. All right. So it's multiple choice. So let me ask you, what did MLK, Martin Luther King, fight for? Civil rights, emancipation of the slaves, lower taxes, or independence from Britain?
Civil rights.
Okay, sister. There you go. Give the sister a round of applause. Thank you. Brother Justin.
Yes, sir.
All right. You get the second question. Huey P. Newton was a member of which party? A, the Black Panthers, B, the Red Dragons, C, the White Tigers, or D, the Pink Elephants?
You said Huey P?
Huey P. Newton, yes.
That's a good question. I'm gonna guess on this one. I'm going to go with Black Panthers.
There you go, brother. All right. So everyone is giving you a round of applause. Imagine we're on TV.
Right.
Vanna, show him what he's won. So you got a new car. All right. Sister Priscilla. You get question 3. Malcolm X's original last name was A, Little, B, Giant, C, Smalls, or D, Biggs?
Maybe it was Little.
All right, sister. Maybe? Yeah, you're not sure?
No, I think it's Short, though.
You think his last name was Short?
Yes, I do.
Malcolm Short. Okay. So imagine you had a wah wah wah. Oh, but lady, you win some wonderful parting gifts. Oh no, but you said Little. So yeah, that's what it is.
It was Little. It was one of them, Short or Little. Yeah. Wow.
All right. Okay. Next. Thank you for participating. Brother Nkosi. Hello, brother.
Yes.
All right. So you get question 4. When a Black community pools its money together to start businesses and improve the neighborhood, it's called A, group economics, B, Groupon, C, a Ponzi scheme, or D, discrimination?
Economics.
Okay, brother. Get a round of applause from the group. Let's see here. We got the next person. Thank you for participating. Sister Raina, you get question number 5. Now, sister, this one right here, we're going to need you to choose the best ones, right? Choose all that applies.
Okay.
All right. Uh-huh. When a race of people, are you ready?
Yep.
When a race of people prioritize the well-being of their own people before others, it's called A, common sense, B, racism, C, self-preservation, D, intelligence.
All four? Because certain people are going to think it's self-preservation and, you know, good common sense, and certain people are going to think that that's a racist thing to do.
Really?
Did you say racism?
I did say racism.
Yeah. It's going to be perceived as racism to other people. That's why I said all four. It depends on the perspective.
Okay. You're right. Well, all right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is no wrong answer. I think we need to come back and discuss that one, too.
We should.
Yeah.
And they're all A's, so.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's see here. Let's see. We have 4 more. So now we have more people in the queue than we have questions. Brother Zayjean, you're the young brother, right?
Yes. How you doing?
All right, cool. All right, this is a good question for you, brother. The black community needs more. Now, these are all in a row. A, lawyers, doctors, businessmen, and scientists. B, athletes and entertainers. C, single mothers. D, pastors and politicians.
I'll say the first and last one. Except the single mothers, we would need more single mothers. And, like, this is a hard question because we could use more entertainers if they put their money towards the right thing. That's a hard question.
That's a hard question.
I mean, we don't need more athletes because we already got a lot of athletes. So, I mean, I think it would help if those people with all the money and stuff put their money towards a better cause. But I definitely do think we need more more lawyers, we need more doctors, and what was the last one? I think the last one was
pastors and politicians.
Politicians, for sure. I mean, I know a lot of pastors, but some pastors don't even, really do things to, you know, put money into their black. I know some black pastors that don't. So that's a hard question for me. I feel like, A, we can use a more, I think you said scientists, lawyers, and stuff, and then the last one, politicians. We definitely do need more politicians, or for the people to even more people to care about politics in general. So, yeah, I don't know what's the exact right answer for that one. So,
all right, well, I mean, your opinion, thank you, appreciate your opinion.
Okay,
all right, Sister Shauna, peace, sister. Hello.
Hello?
Yes. Do you want to answer that question, or do you want another one? What do you think? Do you think the black community needs more of, or do you want to answer a new question?
I almost kind of agree with the brother. Like, that's a hard question. But if I had to choose, if you got to choose one, I would probably have to say more doctors and lawyers and scientists if I had to choose one. But
okay.
But to be honest with you, I have a thing about the thing that we do well. Like, I don't believe in shunning the thing that we do well. We do well, we're great athletes, we're great entertainers. The things that we do well, we should continue to invest in them. I mean, I'm sad that we don't invest in the arts that we've created. We created genres of music, and we don't, you know, other than hip-hop, we don't patronize it or see it as something that's, worth investing in. But I think, like the brother was saying, it's just the mentality of it. You know, it's been so used and broken and abused and ripped off that, you know, it just, it has a dirty name. Oh, I don't want us to just be known as, you know, a dancer or an athlete. So I kind of feel the brother on that. But if I had to choose just one, I would say scientists, lawyers, and doctors.
Okay. All right,
but
cool.
You can ask
I said no, that's cool. All right, so we have more questions than we have. We have more people in the queue than we have questions. So I think I probably will circle back to either that one and the racism question because 9, 10 o'clock. Yeah, we can probably go on those two because everyone is going to have a different opinion and someone may have something that's really valid, an opinion that's really valid. I agree. I think we should encourage, we should play to our strengths. But I really don't think, in my opinion, is not important right now. All right. We'll circle back. Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
Sister Constance. Sister Constance. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Peace, sister, peace. You all right now? Everything's good? You back with us?
One day at a time, but yeah, I'm back. I ain't gone nowhere.
Okay. Yeah. So should I take it easy on you, or you want a hard one, or no? Let me leave. All right. So let me ask you this. Approximately how much money does the black community spend each year on consumer goods and services? $1.3 trillion, $1.3 billion, $13 million, or $1.3
million? Well, from what I've been hearing, I've been hearing $1.3 trillion. But as doing some research and hearing other people's perspectives, they're saying that there's really no way to calculate exactly the number because, we don't spend it within our, community. It's, all spread. So I know we have spending power. We just do not spend it in the community. Group economics. We don't practice group economics, which is important. So however much we have, we ain't spending it in our community, so.
All right.
Which is the sad part.
Yeah, it is. All right, thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
Okay. Brother Maurice, how you doing, brother? Brother Maurice?
Yes.
Peace, brother.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. So, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Who wrote the letter that gave slave masters instructions for making obedient slaves? A, Willie Lynch, B, Willie Nelson, C, Chili Willie, or D, William Shatner?
Willie Lynch.
Okay. There you go, brother. Round of applause. Just imagine you got the little laugh track in the back. I mean, the clap track in the back.
Yeah, I got it. I hear it.
Oh. All right. That's it, brother. Thank you. Let's see here. We got here. We have Sister Rhonda, Brother Leonard, and Sister Kimball. We don't have that many questions. Let me see here. Brother Leonard.
I'm here, brother.
Peace. All right.
Peace, brother.
What was the nickname of the prosperous black community in Greenwood, Oklahoma that was destroyed in a race riot? A, Black Wall Street.
In Oklahoma? Black Wall Street, brother.
No, brother, not yet.
Okay, I'll live to it. Okay.
No, go ahead, though. All right, you go. All right. All right, no problem. God, you one of those guys on the talk show when they trying to, hit the buzzer. You hit the buzzer before the guy. You one of those
guys,
man.
Yeah. Right. Well, what year was it, 1921?
1921, yep. Okay, cool. Yeah. I got one for Sister Rhonda. Thank you, brother. Sister Rhonda.
Yes, sir, Brother Lou.
Okay, what was the other nickname for Black Wall Street? And I'm not giving you any. I'm not giving
you. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're trying to pickle my brain tonight. They done pickled my brain all day. You trying to pickle my brain?
All right. Harlem, Blackie Town, Little Africa, Jerusalem.
What? What did you say? What? You said Harlem?
Blackie Town, Little Africa, or Jerusalem?
Little Africa. Wrong.
Oh. you was stuck for a minute?
Yeah, because I'm like, when you said the other ones, I'm like, no. Little Africa.
Yeah, all right. Thank you so much, sister. All right, you get the clap track.
Okay, I hear it. Thank you.
Yep. Sister Kim just jumped out the queue. Sister Raina, I guess you get the last one.
Brother Lou?
Yeah?
Yes. I just want to let you know that... Hello?
Yeah.
Yes. I felt it wasn't too difficult because all the answers were A. You made all the answers A.
Yeah.
With all your questions.
Okay, so you caught that. Well, I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. All right. And actually I was just putting this together. So this is something that's going to go out on our page. I was actually just putting
this together.
Okay. All right. So here's the last one. If you ask 100 black people, what is the biggest problem we face in our community? They would say A, lack of parking spaces, B, lack of churches, C, lack of liquor stores, or D, lack of unity.
I would hope that everyone would say D. But some people will say, "See,
really lack of liquor store."
Listen, you have some alcohol. Right.
Yeah.
But I do think what you were saying earlier, I do really think that. And sometimes it's great when someone can. What you did is articulate it into the words that I think a lot of people are feeling about the lack of unity and how. It's like, well, what is the problem? What is going on? Why can we not get it together now? You know what I'm saying? And it's always, I'm glad we're looking for solutions because it's never going to be one solution to the problem. There has to be multiple solutions.
Well, yeah. I mean, so when you have an unknown, of course, right? It's because you don't know. But then when you find something that works, then you stick to it, right? So, for instance, so if we look at, like, what our problems are, the variable that we have that a lot of other people, but I really try to look at, like, the Jewish community, right? So no one has been, in this country has been enslaved, treated the way that we have been, right? So that's the difference. But the Jewish community, they were persecuted as well. They're still persecuted. They're still hated.
They stick together like glue.
Right. And so what I'm saying is the solutions that the majority of the solutions that I propose is modeled off of what they've done. Matter of fact, earlier back in the days, they used to work hand in hand with us. Because everything used to be niggers and Jews. It used to be like the worst thing. They tried to help us. I spoke with some Jewish guys about what's going on, and they're like, I don't know what the hell is wrong with you guys. For some reason, you guys just can't seem to get it together. And they're like, we can't let the brothers, we can't let you guys hold us back. They really said, like, even if you, like, look at the entertainment industry back in the day, like, you know, that was like the dynamic duo. We had all of our great entertainers, but a lot of their managers and the producers and things like that, they were Jewish people, and that's because you had to go places where Anglo-Saxons weren't really doing it. So they, you know, when they used to call it race music, right? The Jewish, you know, our people and the Jews are the ones that made that industry. Now, what the smart thing about, you know, our brothers and sisters back then, they understood when, you know, they understood when these people knew how, they understood these people knew how to handle business. So if you take like, you like James Brown, for instance, right? James Brown did not come up with any type of fabulous web education, him or Ray Charles. But, you know, because of their relationship with their managers, their partners and things like that, these Jews, understanding that these guys have this business sense, learning from them, they were some of the most successful, you know, entertainers, period, ever, owning their masters and everything, really understanding the game and everything. So one of the, you know, so like my idea, our idea of the community resource centers comes from the Jewish, the yeshiva schools, mm-hmm. that they have in those communities. Because they, even though they live in an area that they're supposed to get like public school, and a lot of the women are on, you know, welfare Section 8 or whatever it is, mm-hmm. they send their children specifically to those yeshiva schools so that they can learn their culture. And at home, they learn about, you know, managing money. They learn about business. The kids are right at their father's, you know, side when they're going to go do business. We need to implement the same types of systems, but we can't ask people who don't know how to do it. See, right? So I understand. We lost that from like the 60s. And the 40, those the we had the last time I think that we were really, really strong as a people was like around the 60s and the 70s. And the reason why is because those people in the 60s and 70s, they learned from the people from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s who they had no choice but to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They had no choice but to do for self. And so that strong work ethic, that know-how, that ability, or that need to basically understand how things work and go out there and create and provide, that was in there. After the 70s, man, it's like, you know, it's, you no longer were passing on skills to your kids.
Like, well, my, when, I know like, there was this book called Whatever Happened to the Black Jewish Alliance, and it talks about a lot of things that you were saying. And I think it's very easy for nowadays our children to be raised by our, what if you want to call it a society. And I think a lot of people are taking the power from their own hands, a lot of parents and guardians and things like that, and letting the society and the culture that we live in raise the kids. And I think that that's part of the problem.
Yeah, right. It is. It is. There's no home training. And
there's
so
no accountability.
That's why, right. And no account. Right. No account. We had that conversation like what was last mm-hmm. week before that. There's no accountability in our community anymore. So what we want to do is we want to hire brothers and sisters who care. Right. Because there are still those among us who care. The problem is with when crack hit and it decimated our community. That community vibe when, you know, where the lady across the street or down the hall where if she saw your son doing something bad, she could slap him upside the head or whatever it is, you know, chastise him. And the mother would appreciate that because she's correcting the child. Now the mother will fight the lady or, you know, something like that. So we no longer have that it takes a village vibe. It's no longer villages raising these children. It's like everyone has to do it on their own. And this is what's really hurting our community. So with the community resource centers, we know that we have a lot of parents who may be working or who are just, you know, not interested or just don't know. If we have those children, if we say to them, hey, listen, send your child to this center, they will get community training. I mean, they will get cultural education. They'll learn computer programming. They'll learn, you know, whatever it is. They'll learn a trade. There's going to be a lot of parents who will be like, yep, take them. They'll send the kid in there. I'm serious. They'll send the kids in there, and the kids will get the training, the education, the things that they need. We also want to, so now I realize, so I'm, you know, like I said, I'm paying attention to models that are successful. There was a brother by the name of Jeffrey Canada, and he.
I used to work for Harlem Children's Zone.
Yeah, the Harlem Children, right. And he did that. He realized that the community needed the support as well. So the things that I'm talking about have has already been done. And he provided resources for the parents so that way when the children got home, the nurturing, the environment was being continued. And we're going to have to do the same thing. We're going to have to roll it out across the country. You know, it's going to take a lot of money.
Yeah. So I was just about to say about the parental, yes, because everything does stem from the home. And I was saying that I used to work for Harlem Children's Home, and I saw certain things, sure, we can take. I'll leave it at that, but okay, we'll go with it. We'll go with it.
Well, I mean, well, listen, I mean, there's nothing. Well, let's just agree to this, though. He went to Harlem when it was more or less dead, and he revitalized the whole area and took some children who society more or less wrote off, and he had them competing on, you know, on the national stage with children from everywhere, Asians and everywhere else. Their grade levels were up that high to the point where, you know, Obama was the president at the time. He was trying to...
And he said something about it, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
No, sure. Sure, right. Listen.
Yeah, something worked. Something.
Yeah, let's do it. I don't have no problem with that.
All right.
Well, I think these things are great. It's just, okay, the implementation of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at.
Right. Well, I mean, so we're not going to get ahead of ourselves, right? We understand it takes time. We understand.
Yep.
You know, like I said, you know, one of the things I really didn't realize this before, but I realize it now. We need to learn how to work together. That's one of our biggest problems. We're not in the habit of working with each other. We're really offense. We get offended. We get moody. And then we're always in a position where it's like, you know what? I don't agree with this. F this, I'm out. Like, we always have that option.
We're very sensitive. We're very sensitive as people. I'm not sure if it just stems from, I mean, some of it does stem from our experience in this country, that I do understand. But at this time, we have to put our feelings and perspectives and thoughts aside and, yeah, get down to the hard work and just, we gotta do it. We got to start someplace and do that, because we can't think just because someone says something to us to help us, it's a bad thing, or that a lot of us want to be independent. We don't want to be interdependent.
Wow.
So it's a lot of us are falling either we are dependent and we need someone else to do everything for us, or we're independent where we think we don't need anyone else to help us. And we should be the interdependence where we know how to do things for ourselves and we're using other people to help build that network even more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Thank you, sister. I'm gonna pose those other questions to the group in a moment, but we have Sister Shauna in the queue. Sister Shauna.
Hey, brother. You know, I'm just so inspired with the last sister. You know, and it sparked something that you and I have talked about before. And it's always, you know, do you try to change, you know, the 35 and older mind, you know, the 45 plus mind, or do you just go to the children? Do you try to change? Do you, you know, start the change with the children? And we know we have to start the change with the children, but it's like, but what do we do with these, you know, 10 million adults that we have right now? You know, why is it so hard? Like, I wrestle with that. Why? There was another sister that said, why don't we do this like, you know, church and bring somebody on? I mean, my thought on that is, why don't we talk to people that we know don't think like us? See, everyone that gets on this call, we all kind of have the same mindset, you know, in one way, shape, form, or fashion. We all kind of have the same mindset. We all kind of want the same thing. Some of us are a little ill-advised, that's true, but we all kind of want the same thing. It's not us that we have to pull along, you know, people that think like we do. It's those that don't. You know, those of us that we know need to be hearing this.
how do we have that conversation? And I think the solution to that is what you and I were talking about earlier, Brother Lou, is like how do we speak their language? How do we speak what they can get with, right? That will change their behavior without actually telling them. You know, it's just one of those things. You know, and I'm not asking a question. I'm making a statement, and I'm piggybacking off of what the sister before was saying, because I feel where you're going. And I believe what you're saying wholeheartedly, but I wrestle with, you know, these knucklehead old folks, you know, older people. Well, I'm not old, but, you know, older people, you know, that, I'm not old. Yeah. Y'all old, I'm not old. I think you're older than me, bro. But,
not by much.
Right. But I do. I really wrestle with that, because it's not that I want to argue with you, but I'm like, really, brother, really, sister, you are you saying you're really okay with this mediocre life? Like, I'm thinking that. I'm like, you're really okay with your children repeating the same mistakes that you're doing? Are you're really okay with that? And then you talk to them, and they're like on a whole nother planet. And then you're frustrated because you're dealing with, you know, it's like you're talking to somebody on Venus. So I don't know. We do have a lot to wrestle with, but I do know the universal code, the universal black code language is money. So money is the you know, the universal cohesive. It's the one thing that we all agree that we want more of. So I think maybe this approach, what we're doing with Black Wallets Matter, is a way to change their mind. It's a way to talk to them and get to change behavior, without directly telling them, hey, you know, knucklehead, why are you not teaching your children at home? Why are you not being a better parent? Why are you not doing all of these things? You know, we're able to present them with something that solves their problem but gives them a different behavior that kind of does what we need them to do at the same time. So, you know, in support of the organization, you know, power to the people, to the sister before, and then the other sister that I quoted, I'm so sorry. I don't remember names all that well. So, but thank you all, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you, sister. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Leonard.
Yeah. Greetings to everybody again. And I want to look at things from a different perspective, because the sister just before said that she thought of something through a conversation that kind of brought something to the forefront. I have studied, me personally, other cultures. So I've studied Hispanics, I've studied Armenians, I've studied Koreans, and I've studied Filipinos. All of them have a certain thing, and it's called a cultural collectivity. So we already know that our culture was taken away from us. So that's part of the reason why we don't trust each other. But there was something that the sister said before, why wouldn't we go get people that really don't think like us? I think let's look at this organization, or this is how I look at it. We're going through phase one, and then I'm sure there's phase two, then I'm sure there's phase three. Phase one has to be all the people that think alike. So we need 2,000 people. Now, my goal, I think we could do 5,000, because what this brother has put together and his team is something short of a miracle. You have all the issues up front that we deal with, but in order to move the needle, it's called movement. When we had the civil rights movement, there were a body of people going in the same direction. So we need 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people who think like-minded. We know when to turn the right corner. We know when to slow down. We know when to run. You can't have everybody questioning and second guessing. And I understand where you're coming from, sister, but take a look at it this way. In order for us to move the needle, we have to have 2,000 people thinking the same way. And as Brother Lou had mentioned, one of the things that we do struggle with, and I feel like I'm a leader too, and I just tell you something that I like to say is my father was in my life till I was about 16. So this is what he put in my head, okay? And these are the things when you talk about the resource center. because many of us fathers, black fathers, we're going to have to become surrogate mentors or surrogate fathers. But this is what my father told me, a couple of things. One, son, if you ever get in a position to help black people, make sure you do it. So that's what I do. The second thing he told me is, you are the greatest man in the world. But son, understand this. There are men greater than you, and there are greater men lesser than you. So when I'm around a bunch of brothers, I do feel like I'm the greatest one, but I know that there's some bad brothers among me. So I think like that. But when you have your father telling you these things, when the father's in the house, there's a lot of things that happen. In the 60s, if we were cursing in front of women, all a mother would have to say is, if your father hears you, or if I tell your father, at that time, as soon as they said that, I had to go to the bathroom and take a dump because my body started to change because I knew what was going to happen. So a lot of this has to do with how the neighborhood and your environment. And these kids today are a direct result of the environment. But I just wanted to touch on that, and that's all I got right now.
Okay. I think you both have important insight to what the problem is, right? So the sister and I, like she said, we were talking earlier. We were like, okay, well, you know what? The vast majority of the folks, what they want money. In terms of the, in order to be able to provide them the money or to do what, you know, do whatever, the blueprint is like, hey, let's get people some jobs. Let's get them some job training or, you know, something like that. Once we're able to start employing people, we get multiple benefits, right? Because so the people on the outside are looking in and they're like, wow, you know what? That organization is actually doing what it said. The people who are getting the jobs, we now have a little bit of, we have a little bit of authority to say, you know, not to tell them directly, do this, do this, do this, but we can implement what we call a code of conduct. And the code of conduct can be similar to like we were saying to the children. Hey, listen, we support one another, we do this, da-da-da-da-da-da, right? So it's like a company culture. And I've witnessed people who basically have no rules get into a system, and now that there's rules and now that there's structure, they fall in line. So that's pretty much what we need to do, but it needs to be a group of us, or maybe we hire somebody. We have people and we sit down and we come up with every single little thing and we create like an operations manual, right? So you said you work at franchises or, corporate restaurants and things like that.
Right,
they have
right.
The operations manual. It tells you what to do basically for almost every case. That's essentially what we need, and we need to roll that out because our folks need structure. They need structure. That's what it is. We have no structure. We have no guidelines, nothing anymore. They're not receiving it at home. And when they go outside, you got a bunch of unstructured people interacting with more unstructured people. And so now if we're able to show them and we say, oh, we're able to dangle the carrot, hey, come over here, get some job training. You know, come out, you go into this program. You spit out on the other side, you may be able to make 18, 20, 30, whatever, however much dollars an hour, whatever sounds good to them or whatever, depending on the industry, they're going to fall in line. And now when we start saying, as they're going through the process, we start explaining to them, hey, listen, this program has been provided to you for the benefit of our community by people that look just like you. That instills that pride, that instills that confidence that, hey, listen, we can do this. We can do this. And that's what we have to do. But we need, like you said, I'm being honest with you. Every day, I speak to the sister almost every day. I'm sitting here trying to figure out how we can do it without the 2,000 people. It's like you said, I banked on 5,000 too. I just figured by the time we hit 2,000, we would have so much momentum, 5,000 would be a foregone conclusion. So I was like, yeah, the snowball would be rolling and we're rocking and rolling and we're good to go. We're moving forward a few paces. We're getting knocked back. I kind of rejoice in that though, right? Because I know that's the breakthrough. When you come out on the other side, that's when you get that breakthrough. This is when you're learning. I'm taking everything that happens, all the setbacks, all the challenges, I'm taking it as a learning experience. I'm not just sitting down saying, oh, woe is me, look what happened, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm sitting down, I'm observing, I'm trying to make moves, I'm trying to be a little bit more nimble. So if you notice, so the brothers and sisters that are on the call who've been here before, the tone of the calls, the nature of the calls, they've changed. At the beginning, I was like, oh, well, you know, we need this, and kind of sort of like, you know, it's, I don't want to say begging and pleading, that's not my thing, but I was trying to be really, really accommodating to people coming on the call and really open and a little loose about what we were about, because I wanted it to appeal to a lot of folks. I don't do that anymore. This is what we're about. If you ain't with that, then all right, I'll see you later. Because I've been on some different calls before, and they're not about what we're about. They're not about what we're about. And so I have a lot of pride. I take a lot of pride in us being what we're about. I take a lot of pride in the plan that we're outlining and the way that we move it.
You did an excellent job.
Well, thank you.
And that's a lot of work behind it. I know that people just don't think this arbitrarily happens, but you put in a lot of work, and your team put in a lot of work. That program is really something special. You can almost say it's flawless. If you try to find something wrong with it, you came in looking to find something wrong with it. What you want to do is find what's right with it.
I agree with you, brother. I agree. But, I mean, it's challenges, right? So you learn that, too. So we have Sister Jacqueline in the queue. Is there anything you would like to add in conclusion, brother?
No, other than I'm glad to hear that we got sisters on the call. I'm glad we got young folks on the call. And I'm glad we got black men on the call. And we actually have this call.
Thank you, brother. Sister Jacqueline.
Thank you, Brother Lou. I do agree with you on a lot of things. And one of the things I think, though, is that, like you said, that mindset, that's going to be changed by money. You know, I've tried to try 50 people. I tried to talk to my friends, family. Let's do a business. Let's get together. And I don't have any takers. I don't have any takers. I am sitting at home, not working a job, okay? Free time, willing to put the work together. Let's come up with an idea. Let's invest. Let's get our money together. Let's do that. And, I'm going to do it. I don't hear nothing. It's cricket. And I'm like, really? We can't build anything. You mean to tell me that 50 people can't get together and come up with something? And I get crickets. I say, okay. Now, when I put my mind to something, I want to achieve it. I am very successful at that. When I do it by myself, I'm going to reap by myself. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's what everybody does. Yes, that's what has to happen. That's what has to, and this is why I forgot who I was talking to. They were telling me about our celebrities, and they were saying that the celebrities didn't contribute to something. So they saw Magic Johnson. They saw Magic Johnson do something. That's what I was talking to someone, and they have a really good network. So I'm going to try to actually have them, you know, come on board with what we're doing. They're in that circle there with a lot of celebrities, business people, politicians, things like that. But, you know, the individual saw Magic Johnson basically like turn his back to one of our brothers and sisters. They were trying to do something or whatever. And I said, listen, I understand you're upset. And I know a lot of people feel that our celebrities are supposed to come to our rescue. But I said, what the problem is, there is no existing system for them to put their money, their energy, their time. There's no existing system for them to put their resources into where they can see the direct translation or the help come, you know, where they see it help the community. I said, what they've done is they had to strike out on their own, many times with no support. So a lot of celebrities had at least had the support of their mother, but many had the support of no one. A lot of them grew up in foster homes and all kind of weird stuff. And so when they become successful, they feel that that success is my own. So it's the same with you. It's this, you know, you're pretty much saying the same thing. If you have to strike out on your own and you got to do this without, you know, all, you know, the 50 people, and I'm like that too. I get motivated when, you know, when people turn their back on me. I'm like, all right, I'll do it myself. You
yeah.
want to celebrate? Yeah, you celebrate by yourself. You celebrate
and
by
I'm
yourself.
And I'm a very generous person. When I go to school, I learn things, and then I show my other, you know, students how to do things that they might not have necessarily known how to do, and actually show somebody how to pass a test and stuff. And then my problem is that often I put out, but I don't get back any feedback, you know, just with the mind. You get what I'm saying? Like, I have struggles too, and I need some help. Often I can't get that reciprocated back, you know, not in the way I need it to be. If I put in my 25 hours, you should be putting your 25 in, and I want you to, you know, give back with that. Even if it's not, you know, financially, just, you know, intellectually, put your input in. Be driven, too. And then I go, and I'm like, I'm asking these family members and people, and I'm like, okay, come on, we're going to do this. Let's get together once a month. What time you want to get together? Anytime y'all ready, I'm ready. I'm not working, so I'm at home with my kids. Anytime you ready, I'm ready. How much more accommodating? You know, I just feel like, wow, y'all really just don't want to do. I mean, like, do I have to set a fire under you? Come on, let's go.
No, I don't know how old you are, you know, so I don't know what kind of experiences you have. But here's the reality, and this is, you know, not just black folks. You know, our creator, the creator, made some of us with wider shoulders, stronger backs, sharper minds. That's the bottom line. I mean, that's what makes certain people special. That's why you have the word special, right? Because you're different. You're just not the same. And so if those thoughts, those ideas, if they come into your brain, it's your responsibility to execute on them. But what I'm trying to appeal to the people who are on this call, I know everyone is special. You jump through hoops to get on this call. And if you're here already, right, so we've had some people leave, but we still have people coming on. If you're still here on this call, hearing the nature of what we're talking about, hearing me speak, hearing the other brothers and sisters who are already members, who have already contributed, and you're still here, you are not like everyone else. You are not. And you've experienced some of the frustrations that we have. You're here relating some of those frustrations right now. This is why at the beginning of the call I say like-minded brothers and sisters. It's not just like-minded of understanding or being aware of the problems. It's also understanding the frustrations that we go through personally because we don't fit into the mold. We're actually trying to do something. We're actually trying to not just talk about being different, not talk about, hey, we need to do something. We're actually trying to do something. One of the problems is a lot of times we just don't know how, because it hasn't that skill set, that information hasn't been passed on. And I have information, but you know what? Actually doing it, some of the things on a higher level, I don't have any skill set. But what I do know is you go hire the people to do it. You got to go hire the people who've done it before. And that's also one of the things why we need this member association. It's a small contribution from everyone, but then it makes such a big impact for us overall. And then not to mention our network, the network of brothers and sisters that can help one another. Sister Shauna is a networking, like, savant. Like, she just, like you say something, I'm serious. Like, you're saying, you know what, I need this, or I heard someone say this. And, like, she had her mental Rolodex. Like, she's a human Rolodex. You know what I'm saying? She's like, wait, you know what, I know someone over here that could connect, blah, blah, blah. And there's a lot of times on the weekends, that's all she and I are doing. All we're doing is just connecting members with other members and doing this, doing that, and blah, blah, blah. Now, if something ever really comes out of it, you know, hey, you know, you get a lot of times where it's like, you know, it's just not a good fit. But we try.
Right.
Hey, look at that. We got a few people in the queue. So, Sister Jacqueline, is there anything you want to add in conclusion?
Yeah, just one more thing.
I'm
out of Chicago, so our schools, I think that we need to start with those kids
and I used to substitute teach. And the curriculum that's coming down the pipeline for our children is to dummy our kids down. And we're going to have to, as a people, teach our children and not expect it to come from those schools. They are teaching them math. Oh, my God, if I sat and taught you that math, you'd be like, why would I ever do that? Why couldn't I just multiply? They got these charts and graphs and these little squares and boxes. You'd be like, who has time to do that? Just memorize your timetable. But they're pushing that agenda down, and we need to take back our schools. We need to take them back. And I had a program set up on how we can take them back for the lazy people, people that don't want to participate every day with like a rotating cycle or whatever. I mean, I could go into a later detail, but it was very simple. It was just like a chain. You know, you only get two people to go, but you could overwhelm the room if you got just two people from every block in the district to go. They wouldn't know what to do with you because you'd outdo the rooms. They benefit when people don't show up. When you don't show up, they say, well, we're doing everything fine. We're perfect. No, when you show up like that and you overwhelm the room, everybody in the room want to know why you're there. They're scared now. So we need to take back those schools, and we need to participate more because they're bringing some stuff down the road. They're saying, you know, slavery was an immigrant trip. Whoa, they've written this in books in Texas. Someone busted them. They had to apologize for it. So they're bringing some really detrimental information that they're trying to put into the kids' books and changing the way the kids learn. So we need to focus on making sure that our kids are literate, they can read, count, you know, math, and we need to take a page from some other countries where they show their children the most proficient way to apply a concept. They don't teach them that long, drawn-out, gobbledygook, you know, stuff that you can't use in real life. They show them the most proficient ways to get things. And we need to really invest in making sure our kids are literate, that they do cursive writing. They're taking things out the curriculum that are hurting our children. They can't even recognize cursive writing letters versus printed letters because they don't see them and use them. So they start having trouble. They're already functioning literate. Now they're having trouble deciphering what cursive writing is because they never see it. So we got to work on that one.
Wow. Okay, so those are educational deficiencies I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, big time.
Right. All right. Thank you so much, sister.
Thank you.
All right. We have Sister Priscilla.
Hello?
Yes.
I've just been listening to everybody, and I think everybody has some pretty good ideas. But, you know, as a group, you know, we should have a workshop. It seemed like we should have some workshops. And I was listening to you, Brother Lou, said we need a business. One business where everybody can invest into it. This is my first time on the call, though, but I don't know what's going on, really. And I don't know what y'all have started already as far as getting together and having a business, because I've been looking at on the website at how much it costs to even start a business. Okay, and so you got... if you want a bakery or something like that, you have to have inspectors come in and check it out, and you have to pay $200 fee to get it started. And like a lot of our businesses fall because we can't keep them going. Like I've been watching the Mexicans. They've been starting a whole lot of business, and what they have is these little stores. They get a little store, they put a little grill in there, and they make sandwiches and stuff, but they don't get a lot of traffic going through there. But they're able to keep their business open, and I'm figuring out it's because they have some support from their family and stuff to be able to pay the light bill, pay the water bill, pay the taxes on it. And, you know, it's a family thing, you know, a business revenue, like from a lot of different people contributing to that. It only takes one thing to get one business to get something started. And, you know, it's like, okay, if somebody take $2,000 of their money and invest it into a business and get it started and off the ground, I mean, maybe it don't take a lot of people. How many people take to get a business started? Maybe four people, you know. So, but just having something going, somebody to do the baking. Now, I live in another state, and you guys live somewhere else in another state. But money, you know, to get things started is the most important thing. Is money. So I was wondering, do you have a website that I can go to that you have set up?
It's blackwalletsmatter.org.
Okay. So I'm willing to take my credit or whatever it takes to just start a business. And then from there, all of us can contribute to keeping that business open.
Right. I mean, you basically summarized what the essence of it is. So a quick summary, because we got a few people in the queue. So our initial goal, like I said, was to create the shopping portal. But from the money that we get from the shopping portal, if we were to open a business, we would buy an existing business, right? So we were looking at like transportation companies and things like that, because we want to also be able to provide jobs for our brothers and sisters. The reason why we would prefer to buy a business is because it's already running. We understand what the profit margins would be. And then in addition to having those revenues come in, we would also have the revenues from the membership dues to provide support. And so that's how we pretty much were going to do the same thing like you're talking about from the, like you said, the Mexicans. So they'll do something like a susu, or, you know, they have these, I forgot this other thing they have, and it's like, let's say in Mexico, they're trying to build a house. Everyone would contribute to one person, let them buy all the tools and equipment and all the stuff that they need to build the house, and then, you know, they'll go around in a circle until everyone has a house. And that's essentially the same thing that we wanted to do. But we have, you know, our goals are a little bit different from them, because we can't, like, really, like, take the profit and go and, like, you know, enrich ourselves. We have to take the profit, reinvest in the business, but also reinvest in the community. So, and that provides a little, and then, you know, that's a little tricky. But you know what? Check out the website. There's a contact page there. And also, I have your number. Just send me an email or respond to the email that you got about getting on this call, and let's have a call tomorrow, and then I can go with you a little bit more in depth about what's going on in terms of the organization. Because we should have a workshop, but we have, like, members calls where we talk about, like, some of the more detailed things. All right?
Okay, I just want to get something started. I mean, I wouldn't mind having my own business, but I like to have somebody, you know, us to get it together, you know.
Okay.
So we can prosper.
All right. Thank you so much, sister.
You're welcome.
So we have caller from 925. We don't have your name. Caller 925.
Terry Frazier.
Sorry, Terry, T-E-R-R-Y.
Terry Frazier.
Yes, sister. Yes. Okay, sister. Yes, sister. I'm assuming you're with Teak and Sister Teak and Sister Mai. And
yes.
Right. You guys are showing up really, really strong. Okay. I mean, there's tons of 925s here and 626s. All right. How can I help you, sister?
No, I just wanted to compliment you and also just the callers, just in terms of having the mindset and wanting to go forward and do some things. I have my own story in terms of having spent the last 7 years trying to develop a model that would be able to fit some of the things that you're talking about in terms of job training and working with children and parents. So I know that that's critical in terms of having a foundation for a healthy community. And money, of course, ends up being the big issue. Right now we're really trying to figure out how to get space so that we can house our programs, so that people know that there's a concrete brick-and-mortar place to come to on a regular basis, so that that begins to build a sense of community. So just want to echo that I appreciate what you're doing and what you have done, and I'm excited about hearing progress down the road, and would ask that you keep us in your thoughts as we try to pursue getting a foundation for our nonprofit business.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, now we have caller from 313. Caller, your first name, please.
My name is Christine.
Sister Christine, hold on for a second. All right, sister, you have the floor.
And listening to the conversations, this is actually my first call. I've been getting the emails for a while, but in listening to the conversation, I've been hearing there's a lot of people our age. I'm going to assume you guys are my age. Seem like it. Sounds like it. But there are a lot of older generations that do not understand the younger generation. And I think that is where the issue is coming in at. It's not the fact of the matter, I believe, that the kids don't want to do. It's more of they don't think we believe that they can do or they have the ability to do it. One of the things that I thought was very impressive with the guy who leads the Muslims. What's his name? Farrakhan. Farrakhan. Mm-hmm. One thing he said is that this generation that's here now, and I think they're called Generation Y, they are the most important and the best generation that we've had in years because they are ready to fight for any cause, for anything. They are ready to fight. It's just that their focus has not been developed in the right areas in order to fight. So you have the technology world. You have so many things out here that is taking their focus off what should be primary in their life. I have 5 children from the age of 28 now to 12. And raising 5 children, there is a difference between my 28-year-old and my 19, 21, and 12-year-old. And I had to adjust myself in order to know how to direct them and how to lead them in what God had instilled inside of them. And I think about my grandchildren, and my grandchildren have to be directed in a totally different area or a totally different way because they're here, and the purpose in their lives is going to be totally different, and we're probably not going to understand it or even can grasp of their mindsets. One thing I know for sure that moves people is accomplishment. It's not money. It's if I feel as though I can accomplish this task, then I know I can go to the next task. And I know money is very important. I've been in business. I was in business. I've been in business. I was in business for 12 years in construction in Detroit, Michigan. It was very difficult for me as a woman. I was one of the first in the field, starting a construction company. I was a hands-on person. I trained returning citizens in demolition. I was one of the black women who was on one of the biggest developments in Detroit. I'm no longer living in Detroit. I'm living in Nebraska. And
there is a way to make it happen. And what I've been kind of like telling people at the same time is that, yes, we need to develop a business, but we need to give them opportunities like the jobs, as you said. So if you want to develop a business, employ the people. You start the business. Okay, whether or not you get 2,000, 4,000, or whatever the case may be, with whomever you have right now that is willing to move forward, my suggestion is to go ahead and move forward. Being in Nebraska, say, I believe they are like, and I know I'm like all over the place, but there's just so many areas I just want to hit on. Being in Nebraska, the economy is different here than it is in Michigan. Lifestyle is different here. There's separations everywhere, and is predominantly white folks who stay here. But that does not deter me from going forward in what I choose to do and how I choose to accomplish the goals that I've set for myself. And that's another thing that for the younger generation is goals, setting goals for themselves, being able to accomplish those goals, seeing themselves prosper mentally so that they can prosper financially. Everyone has their own unique ability to carry out a task in a certain way. I believe that it to segregate ourselves is hindering ourselves, because if I can allow someone, another race to come in that is not trying to harm me, that is not doing anything to me, but can take me to that next level, then if I'm not allowing that to happen, then I'm holding myself back. And that's just how I think. And I, you know, it just the experiences that I've had in life. As far as business, back to that, as far as business is concerned, I myself would start a business and begin to employ my members. And if my members can invest in the business, then let them see a return on their investment if it's $5 a month or whatever the case may be. A lot of people want to see something in return when they give. And to the young lady that was saying you teach and you show people or help people all the time, Your reward is in your giving. Your reward is not in your receiving. I believe what you give out, you will bring back in. And it's the mindset that changes things. It's not the money that changes. So when we begin to think different, then we can act different, and then we can perceive things in a different manner and be able to change environments where we are and what we're doing. That may like. Okay. Come together.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, you essentially are saying the same thing that everyone says. We need to change our thinking. I hear you. And I mean that may work for those of us who are ready, right? Because that's what all of us say, right? So we're pounding. It's like we're beating a dead horse. We're like, change your mind, change your mind. You gotta change your mentality. I look at it just a little bit differently, though. So I'm looking at the people who actually get us to do the things that they want us to do. I look at how they motivate us. It's just different ways to do it.
Right. Just another thing I wanted to hit on too. I knew someone who started an organization for Black construction people, whether it was on a job, whether you were working developer, architects, whatever the case may have been, he started a organization. It took him several years to actually get that organization off the ground. His name is Jason Cole. He is a Rolodex of, if you need something, you can call him, hey, I need this, and he can direct you to that individual. He was also my business coach during my time in construction that helped me prosper and get to the next level. And with and all of that, I was able to, majority of my projects that I was on was big development in Detroit, Michigan. So the process, I know I looked at the website, you maybe began in 2017, maybe, I'm not sure, I thought it was a lot sooner than that. But the process, in due time, it will come together as long as you don't faint in your well-doing and that you continue on through the process and allow everything to come together in the way that it needs to come together for you to be able to present. Because you have organizations in every state, like Nebraska, they have money sitting waiting because the opportunity here is so much greater than it is in Michigan because you have so many people. But there's opportunities. Like my daughter, she graduated in 2017. She's going to community college now. They're calling them and texting them to take the scholarships to go overseas to do study abroad. With opportunities to go to Peru and London and those different areas. So it's the where you are makes a difference, as well as it's just it takes time for everything to come together. So I believe it's going to come together, and then looking at things in a positive manner at all times, regardless of what the outcome is or what it is that is before you. If you continue to think in that positive manner, then things will, you know, eventually work out the way that you tend for them to work out.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, sister. Appreciate you chiming in. We have a caller from 706-765 area code. Your first name, please.
Yeah, this is Alonzo Kemp. I sent you an email earlier today.
Okay.
Heard that you might be coming to Atlanta sometime soon.
No, I don't know what email you got from me. I didn't make an announcement that I would be coming to Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been through your website, and I'm really impressed with it. And I think I have a formula that I did that would be a extremely powerful enhancement to it on the financial end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you had a comment when I signed up. I don't know if you read it or not.
Probably didn't get a chance to go through it. I go through them. I usually like pick a day at the end of the week and then go through them.
Well, I would like to round table with you sometime and discuss it.
Okay, you can send me. You can just reply to the email that you got for the notification for this call, and just, you know, basically give me an overview and maybe a number, or, you know, however you want to open up the dialogue. All right.
Okay.
All right.
I think you're gonna really like it, what you see when you see it. So I see a lot of the areas that you're requiring to, you know, in this, what needs to be done to get everything rocking and rolling. And I think I got what you're looking for.
Okay. All right, brother. I'll be interested in checking it out.
Okay. And what's your name again?
Brother Lou. Brother Lou.
Brother Lou.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'll be in touch.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Sister Shauna. And then we have Sister Jacqueline, and then we are going to shut it down. Sister Shauna?
Oh, I didn't realize you put it on. Okay. So I wanted the brothers and sisters to hear what we hear. Or what we deal with on a daily, kind of monthly basis when it comes to this organization. So we've had a lot of people to say, I'm willing and I'm ready. So I'm gonna put this out here like this, that Brother Lou and I, through what we both know how to do right now, can buy and start a business. And especially we have a sister on the line that has construction experience. If we had 10 people to come together right now willing to put an investment in, we could start something right now. And so we've had this conversation before, And so the problem is not that the opportunities aren't there. The problem is, I'm telling you right now that if you email Brother Lou and you offer to get on a conference call anytime this week or next week, that you are ready to do your investment, you're ready to do your work, you're ready to find out what it's going to take and actually take action, that something can be done, started, executed, all of that, implemented within a year's time frame at the very, very, very most. So this organization is not able to do what it needs to do because it doesn't have the will, the talent, the know-how, or the capability. Is that we need the brothers and sisters to say, hey, yeah, we're ready right now. What is it going to take? Show me what it's going to take. I'm in. And actually do it. Because I'm telling you right now, it's available. If you are willing to invest in a construction company, I can go get us one tomorrow. If you're willing to invest in a transportation company for your brothers and sisters, I can find us one tomorrow. If you're willing to put together investments for something with a charter school and the people that can help with something in the community, we can get that together now. We don't need 2,000 people to do it. The brother is right. You need a group of people with the same mindset that has a willingness and a capacity to do right now. So I'm telling you that if you are compelled on this call to join this organization and to actually do the work, that you can email Brother Lou back today, and we can put you on a conference call and have a conversation on something that can be started right now. And that's pretty much all I have to say about it. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, sister. And Sister Jacqueline, she's going to be the final call for the evening.
Thank you, Brother Lou. There was just one thing I wanted to touch on. One of the things I think that we need to consider, historically, Black people have built, and we have built wealth before. One of the things I think is important to touch on is that we need to learn how not just only to build it, but to keep it and protect it from being taken from us. I think that is something that really needs to be considered, because we've built wealth before. We've had wealth before. Lincoln gave us a bank, and they took our money. That was like $57 million, and that was all the slaves that came out of that Reconstruction area, Black Wall Street. So, again, I think that needs to be very important. How do we, you know, once we create this wealth, how do we keep it and protect it? Because once we get it and we have it right, people are going to start looking. People are going to notice, oh, what are they doing over there? And then that's the problem. They're going to try to help us out of our creation. And so I think this organization is worthwhile, and I think you have the right idea, and I want to support it. But I want to make sure how we keep it. Once we get it, how do we keep it and don't let somebody come in and take it from us?
Sister, I'm being honest. So we've had people ask that on the calls. I don't know if you actually have a business. I have like 4 businesses. Nobody's trying to take your business. If you build up something good, you can look at people. We have Black billionaires. We got about 4 or 5 Black billionaires. You see people like Puff. They have these big conglomerates and all these different things. We're in a different time now. So it's not just black and white anymore. We have, if you look at what's going on right now in the world, white people are fighting amongst themselves. They don't even know themselves anymore. They're all blended. They're all confused. Right now is the time for us to get our act together. And what we have going on right now is a corporatocracy is what's really running our country. We're like right on the cusp of fascism if we're not already there. And that's where the businesses are running things. By us setting ourselves up as businesses, the businesses, those entities have protection. It doesn't even matter about the face of the people. It's the businesses. The businesses have all the rights, all the laws, all the rules. That's what's happening right now. And then it's like the people behind the businesses, you know, they have like more money than God, and they're just like on a whole other level. So it's not it's not just segmented to like a little portion of the population anymore. It's not just black and white. It's just about the have and the have not. So if the black people as a whole become the haves, then we can protect ourselves, because you can look at the Jewish people. The Jewish people, they had stuff and it was taken away from them, and they came back and rebuilt stronger than a vengeance. And they actually went and had some freaking piece of land slapped dead in the middle of Palestine and just called it home.
Yeah.
And the whole world hates them. You can go on any right wing website or any normal thing. You'll see they'll slip in little jabs. The world hates them. They are very, very small in numbers, and they are extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. And so we have to just pay attention. We have to model them. We have to become a producer, or we have to become a provider of goods and services or something to some group of people where they absolutely need us. And so if we become the best provider of our people, of like jobs, employment, we start creating these tax bases to in all of these like local areas. Let's say if we go and we take all the people who aren't employed in Chicago right now, or let's say 80% of them, and then now make them productive members, put them to work, and now create a tax base. You basically now control that. You can control that local area through your politics, through your tax dollars. So, you know, some of the things that we experienced in the past, we don't really need to worry about that, like, anymore. I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist and none of that other stuff. But I'm just saying, though, like, the way, like they said, oh, those black people over there are getting together, we need to go over there and, like, take them down. We're smarter now. We have distributed networks. We have technology. And I'm not tooting my own horn, but the way that I look at things, the way that I understand it, I think I have a pretty good grasp of the way that the world works. And I see powerful people fighting with people who don't really have power. And I look at how those little people, how they maintain their, you know, how they maintain their position, what they do, how they wind up, you know, working with another big power or something like that. If we were to get our acts together and start really focusing our money, either if we start taking, let's say, the $1.3 trillion, and we started putting that into some other kind of bank. So there's like banking cartels, but let's say we pick one bank and say, hey, this is who we're putting our money in. You can believe the full force and weight of that banking cartel would come to the rescue of our people, because they would be like, listen, I don't know what you guys are doing, but they keep my bank floating. So, and a lot of stuff is like, you know, shuffling papers and politics. We didn't get into the politics tonight, you know, we didn't talk about the lawyers and the lobbyists. But one of the things that this organization wants to do immediately is employ watchdogs, employ lobbyists, right? Because that's what the biggest problem. We don't play the game the way the game is played. The game is played through business and politics. It's played through economics and politics. And we don't do that. We're not playing on any level in any meaningful way. We're not playing in economics in a meaningful way, and we're not playing in politics in a meaningful way. And it's unfortunate, but hopefully that's what the organization can do. All right, sister, does that answer any questions?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Sister Jacqueline, brothers and sisters. That concludes this call. I want to thank everyone for coming to hang out with us tonight. Again, if you are a new caller or you are a guest and you are not yet a member of this organization, we would like to open up the doors and invite you in. You can go to blackwalletsmatter.org. You can click the menu button up in the right-hand side, and you'll see the link where it says become a member, or you can click the other link where it says make a one-time contribution or something like that. With that said, I want to into that. I'm going to that and
good night.
Good night. Good night. Everybody take care of themselves. Be safe. Peace.